Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and who never forsakes the work of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us continue then this evening worship service with the singing out of Psalter 153, there of the first four stanzas. O God, be merciful to me, for men no mercy show. With constant warfare pressing me, they seek my overthrow. We mention 153, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Scripture reading for this evening can be found out of Ephesians, there of the sixth chapter, beginning at verse 10 unto the end. But first let us listen to the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention Ephesians 6, beginning at the 10th verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that ye might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his blessing and for his presence. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art that merciful and gracious God to unworthy sinners, thou who art that faithful one to a faithless people, thou who art that one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. May that be a comfort unto us. And Lord, in thy goodness and long-suffering patience, we may be in the middle of this week in thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us. And Lord, we beg thee then for thy presence, for the presence of thy Holy Spirit, to renew hearts, to give life to dead sinners, to awaken, to give that urgency, to bring to that place before thee, bowing in the dust, crying unto thee, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, we beg and pray thee that thou would then not pass us by. Do not deal with us according to all our sins and iniquities and transgressions. For, Lord, then thou must turn away. Thou must leave us to ourselves. Thou art too pure to look upon sin, and we are sin. But, oh, we beg thee, because of him who is sitting at thy right hand, in whom thou art well pleased. Oh, may we beg thee upon him, upon his merits, upon his righteousness, upon his blood, that thou would come then, and that thou would give life to dead sinners by that irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, wilt thou then come and give life, speak, and sinners will live. But remember also all thy dear people. Thou knowest how they have come up tonight, what they have brought along in their hearts, in their minds, questions, needs, riddles. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thy word that must be proclaimed tonight may not only be to life to dead ones, but may it also be for instruction for thy dear people. Oh, may they learn to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the only Savior, and that they may in that way also, as thy servant said, I must decrease, that he will increase. It will be a way of being stripped of self to find more in thee. It will be in a way of dying to everything to find life in thee. It will be a way that we become lost, guilty, ungodly, bankrupt, poor in spirit, and have nothing, that he becomes everything. And Lord, by nature then we resist with our whole being. We don't want to become guilty. We don't want to become lost. We don't want to become unworthy and completely bankrupt before thee. Oh, we beg and pray thee then. Thou art that one who has that irresistible grace to conquer hearts and to take away all the weapons of resistance. Thou art that one who will make sinners and bring them into that place where they become true Christian soldiers. Lord, by nature we fight against thee. We're enemies, and we are under that evil, wicked Satan and under his bondage. And we need thy grace to deliver us from that bondage and to bring us into thy kingdom. Lord, thou hast the power. Thou alone can renew hearts. Thou can make willing in the day of thy power. May it be tonight also, Lord. Oh, we beg thee, remember those who have come with a load of guilt and are seeking peace and have no peace. Oh, may they hear it tonight of that only way of peace with thee through thy Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. We beg and pray thee, Lord, that thou would give a little food to the hungry, that thou would give a little water to the thirsty. Oh, we beg thee, then open thy word and give opening to proclaim thy word. For, Lord, if thou wilt close, who can open? But if thou wilt open, who can close? Oh, we beg thee then tonight, come among us. May we be given to plead upon thy own promise that thou hast given. Thou hast said, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, that thou wilt be in the midst. Oh, come among us. Give us an hour in thy favor and under thy blessings. Take away all the hindrances, all the obstacles in listening and in proclaiming thy precious word. Give ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to receive. Lord, we pray and beg thee then. We have left thee in paradise, never to return. What a wonder that thou art yet willing to speak unto us, that thou art yet willing to seek and save sinners. May it be also tonight. Help the children to listen and understand, the teenagers, the adults, the older ones. Lord, we all need thy free and sovereign grace. We need to be renewed, and we need that teaching and instruction unto the end of our life. And thou alone art the one who has the power to renew and to instruct. Thou art that one who will begin that work in the heart of a sinner, and thou wilt lead and guide unto the end. and thou wilt bring all thy dear people home to be forever in that place of rest, to be in that place of peace, to be with the Prince of Peace. Oh, we beg and pray thee, Lord, that look upon us in mercy. We ask thee, Lord, remember all the sick and afflicted, those in the congregation, many relatives also in the congregation, from the congregation. Look upon all of them in thy mercy and bless the means that they may use for their body and for their mind. And may we beg thee again also for Mr. Jeff Valdesgraf, Lord, when he may begin also radiation in the coming weeks, may it be a blessing for him. Spare his life, Lord, if it is in thy will. But above all, Lord, remember him for his never dying soul. Bless thy word to him, to his family, but to all of us. Oh, may we hear thy voice. Thou art speaking through thy word and through all the acts of thy providence. And we read in thy word as we have considered, and the Lord doeth it, that men should fear before him. O Lord, wilt thou give then that godly fear before thee, that looking up unto thee with awe, with reverence, with that childlike dependency, and may it also be with that trust and bowing and surrendering unto thee. Lord, look upon us then in mercy. Remember all the mourning ones. Comfort them, Lord. Widows, widowers, those who have lost children, a father, a mother, a sibling, a friend, a classmate. Lord, thou art speaking. Prepare to meet thy God. Lord, prepare us by thy grace. We ask thee that thou would bless thy word throughout the entire world among Jew and Gentile. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, thou hast promised that thy word will not return unto thee void, but that it will be accomplishing thy eternal purpose. O wilt thou then give that help from the sanctuary to all thy servants to proclaim thy word and bless it, and that thy kingdom may come throughout the world, also on the mission field, also in Bolivia, and may it also be here in this church, but also in this country, in this nation. Lord, have mercy on us. Give also unto our leaders the godly fear in their hearts, that they may delight and long to rule this nation according to thy precious word and the truth. Lord, remember the persecuted church. We may freely come together, and there are many on this earth who suffer for thy name's sake. Lord, wilt thou uphold them? And Lord, we beg thee then, as we have come into thy house tonight, give us a good hour together. Give ears to hear. Speak, Lord. Give a mouth to proclaim, a voice to be crying in the wilderness, thus saith the Lord, and that we may listen. That is a message from the Almighty God. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, look upon us in mercy then. Do above all that we can think and ask for thy name's sake and for our eternal welfare. Oh, we beg thee, remember those poor, wretched, needy beggars who need so much instruction day by day on that narrow pathway that leadeth unto thee. They are upon this earth filled with all temptations and sin, but also Satan, that roaring lion, would love to destroy them. And as we may consider from thy precious word what thou hast to say unto especially thy dear people, the Christian soldiers, and that they must put on the armor of God, Lord, bless it. May they hear, may they have hearts that also may be instructed, and that they may become obedient and willing and know of that only way of peace, that only way back to thee through thy dear Son. Oh, that they may be covered by him, that they may be washed by him in that all-atoning blood, and that they may have no rest until they may know that they are resting on that only place where thou art satisfied in thy dear Son and him crucified. And so, Lord, may we together look unto thee, from whence cometh all our help, for all the needs of our bodies, for all the needs upon this earth, but especially for our never-dying soul. Give much prayer. Lord, come and do wonders for thy great name's sake. Pass us not by, we beg, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 204, all four stanzas. O God, how good thou art to all the pure of heart, though life seems vain. Burdened with anxious care, I groped in dark despair, till in thy house of prayer all was made plain. 204, all four stanzas, and the collection for tonight is for the Terre Haute. May the Lord bless you and your gifts.
Thank you.
Dear congregation, this evening with the Lord's help, we will continue in our series from Ephesians 6 about the armor of God and a Christian soldier. By nature, we are not a Christian soldier, but instead we are fighting against God. We are enemies. Are you still an enemy of God and of Jesus Christ? What do you need? You need your heart conquered by free and sovereign grace, and that all your weapons would be taken away. You need to be made, you need to be enrolled in that army as a Christian soldier under the Lord Jesus Christ by free and sovereign grace. So the first step to becoming a Christian soldier is to be born again, to be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. And the Almighty God has the power to do that to absolute unworthy dead sinners. So that's the hope. Listen, Colossians 1 verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So sinners are recipients of this. And from this moment, a sinner is in a spiritual battle and needs armor. Needs the armor of God. Armor provided by the Almighty God. Imagine seeing a sinner, a Christian soldier. He has that belt on. His garments are girded. It's in the belt, that first piece, remember? And he has that breastplate of righteousness. He has that breastplate on. But he's unable to walk. He tries to walk and he falls and he slips. This is very dangerous in a battle as a soldier, because the enemy can come at any time and attack and kill if you cannot stand firm in the battle. A soldier needs to stand firm in the battle. And to stand firm, he needs proper footwear. He needs shoes. He needs to be able to stand in the battle with proper footwear. A soldier in a little battle. And now the Christian soldier, he is called to stand firm. Stand firm, we read in this chapter. In the battle, he needs to be armed with the truth of trusting in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's more. Remember, he needs all the armor. He needs the complete armor, all those parts. So what else does he need? What's the third piece of the armor of God? Well, I'd like to ask your attention to what we read in God's precious word in Ephesians 6, verse 15. Ephesians 6, verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So first, before we go to our theme and our points, first, a few explanations on some of these words. Our feet shod. What does that word shod mean? It means to put on. It means to tie on. So put on your feet. Tie on your feet. You need something on your feet. And then the word preparation. What does that mean? It means to be ready. It means you must be prepared. And your feet shod with the preparation of what? You need to tie on. You need to be ready. You need to be prepared with what? With the gospel of peace. And so, with the Lord's help, we will have the following theme. The Christian soldier's feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Christian soldier's feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So what is Paul speaking about? What does it all mean? Remember, it's an illustration. So two thoughts. The Christian soldier first must be prepared. The Christian soldier must be prepared. And your feet shod with the preparation. There needs to be readiness, alert. So that's our first thought. Second, the Christian soldier must be prepared with the gospel of peace. With the gospel of peace and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This is the only way to be armed and to be able to stand firm in the battle. Armed with the gospel of peace. What is that? How do they receive it? What is it to experience that? Well, with the Lord's help, we hope to consider. So again, the Christian soldier's feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. First, the Christian soldier must be prepared. Paul emphasizes it very strongly again in this verse. And second, the Christian soldier must be prepared with the gospel of peace. And so, with the Lord's help, our first thought, the Christian soldier must be prepared. What must the Christian soldier be prepared for? Well, we just sang from Psalter 204, "Ever, O Lord, with thee, all shall be well with me, held by thy hand, and thou wilt guide my feet by thy own counsel sweet, till I for glory meet and glory stand." To enter glory and to be forever with the Lord is the future hope of the Christian soldier. In war, victory comes after the battle. Conflict before rest. Bondage before freedom. And this is also true for the Christian soldier. He is in a battle before victory, before he will experience complete, full deliverance and victory to be brought into eternal glory. And for this battle that he needs to live from the moment of his new birth until his death, it's all one battle, no time to have peace, no time to rest, no time to sleep. He's in a battle until he dies, and he needs to be armed and prepared. So, dear congregation, we are meditating on a Christian soldier and the armor of God. Remember, first we considered that it was necessary because the Christian is in a battle. No, not a literal battle, but in a spiritual battle. Let's read again Ephesians 6, verse 12. Ephesians 6, verse 12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So that's what we began on New Year's, remember? Second, we considered the first piece of the armor of God, the belt of truth. You needed to be armed with the truth. What does that mean? You need to believe in the truth. You need to be armed by Jesus Christ. You need to be in him who is the truth. Then the second part, the breastplate of righteousness. And you need to be in Jesus Christ, the Lord, our righteousness. You need to be believing in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And what a work the Lord needs to do, that also those soldiers give up all their own righteousnesses as filthy rags and just only trust in that breastplate, trusting that that guards their heart, believing in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And now this evening, we come to the third piece of the armor of God, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So maybe when you hear this piece of armor, you think, what's the importance of this armor? You need something on your feet? What's the meaning? We can understand why we need a breastplate to guard our hearts so those arrows don't come into our hearts, into our feelings, for example. But we also need our feet protected. Christian soldiers need also their feet. What does Paul mean? Well, we hope to explain that. And remember all the pieces of the armor of God. Paul mentions them all together. There's not one piece that's more important or another piece that's less important. It's all important. So Paul mentions that they need protection on their feet. Why? Well, we need to go back to what Paul is probably looking at. He's probably looking at a Roman soldier, and remember then he started to reflect on a soldier in the army of Christ, in that spiritual warfare. Well, a Roman soldier, he was walking or running in an army. He was on his feet. He depended on his feet to be able to go into the battle, to be able to stand in the battle, to be able to continue in the battle. And therefore, his feet needed to be protected. So figuratively speaking, the Christian soldier needs feet. He has new feet. What do I mean? Open your Bible to Psalm 119, verse 101. They receive feet to walk in the ways of the Lord, made new, and they begin to walk in the ways of the Lord. So Psalm 119, verse 101. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. So we hear of the poet of Psalm 119, who is a Christian soldier, and he needs his feet protected, he needs his feet guided, and he wants them guided in the testimonies of God. Is that you? Do you need him to guide you in your feet, with your feet? That means to walk in his pathways? Are you? Are you walking in his ways? Or do you only still desire to walk in your own ways? If that's true, you are not a Christian soldier. So a Roman soldier needed to stand firm in the battle. And the Christian soldier also needs to stand firm in the battle. And Paul mentions this already before this verse of needing to be prepared, to be alert, to stand firm. Verse 11, that ye may be able to stand. Verse 13 again, to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore. And now also again in verse 15 with the preparation. So it's again, he's repeating, to stand firm. My friend, if you are in a battle and you cannot walk, if you cannot move on whatever ground you are easy prey for the enemy. And you will be likely to be captured and possibly put to death. So the soldier's feet in the battle are very important. They need to be protected by proper footwear, by shoes, by sandals that they received. So how did the Roman soldier protect his feet? How did he stand firm in the battle? How was he prepared for the battle? He had to put on all the armor of God. He had to put on all the armor, I should say, that Roman soldier. He had to put on all the armor, also on his feet. And now Paul commands the Christian soldier, looking at the Roman soldier, Christian soldier, children of God, sheep of the good shepherd, you need to stand firm against the attacks of Satan. Remember, of those powers of darkness, principalities, you can't see them with your eye, but they're everywhere, everywhere. And you need to resist. You need to be alert. You need to be ready to fight. You need to be prepared for the battle every single moment. The soldier needed, remember, he had to gird up his garment in a belt, and he also had to have shoes on his feet. And now think in the Old Testament. There was also a command to a people to gird their garments and to have sandals on their feet. Who was that? That was the Israelites. We read in Exodus 12, verse 11, and thus shall ye eat it, the Passover, with your loins girded in a belt, shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. So that Israelite eating the Passover, he needed his garment girded, and he needed shoes on his feet. And the Christian soldier is instructed by Paul, you need to have the belt and shoes on. What does it all say? What is he speaking to those Israelites at that time? And what is the message for the soldiers of Jesus Christ today? Be prepared, be ready. Those Israelites had to be ready to leave Egypt. And the Christian soldier today needs to be ready. He needs to be alert to fight every single moment against the powers of darkness and against his own flesh. Stand firm, Christian soldier. You need to face. The soldier needed to face the enemy. Remember, there's no armor for the back. Because a soldier at that time was not considered a soldier if he would turn and flee. He needed to face the enemy. And it's also speaking to the Christian soldier. There's no armor from the back. You need to be prepared. You need to be facing. You need to be ready to fight, to resist Satan and sin and the world in your own flesh with all your might. A soldier, a Roman soldier, without wearing the footwear, was a very weak soldier. He might have had a sword. He might have had a breastplate. He might have had all the other armor. A helmet on, ready, weapons. But if he had nothing on his feet to be able to stand, he was considered a very weak soldier. And so Paul, no, the Almighty God inspired Paul to write this, to his children who are Christian soldiers by God's free and sovereign grace. Stand therefore, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So it's important to know the truth. It's important to believe the truth. It's important to fight for the truth. But it's important to be in the truth, under the truth, and to be in him who is the truth, who gives the grace and the power to fight, to be prepared, and they must fight the good fight, looking up to him, completely dependent upon him, fighting in the strength of the Lord, putting on the armor of God. But by nature, none of us are in this battle. By nature, we are at war against God and Jesus Christ. And we may even confess him with our mouth, but maybe it's all just lip and nothing from the heart. But when by God's free and sovereign grace, when a sinner is translated, as we heard in the beginning, under that power of Satan and brought into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, into that spiritual battle, then he needs to fight from that moment. And he begins to what? He begins to hate sin. He begins to hate that wicked one, Satan. And there's love poured in his heart, and he begins to love God. He's in a completely new battle, from fighting against God to being under him. Maybe he doesn't know it yet. Maybe that's his question. And yet by his grace, he's under the power and the grace of the Almighty God. And the sinner, by God's grace, a Christian soldier, he's brought into that army, in under Jesus Christ, out from under that tyrant, that horrible, evil, wicked one, that murderer from the beginning. And Satan hates the King of Kings. He hates the King of the Church. He hates the Good Shepherd. And he hates the sheep of the Good Shepherd. And he will do everything to destroy them. He will do everything to take every bit of their peace and their joy away. He delights if they have no joy, no peace, and if he could forever destroy them. And so, my friend, are you in this battle? Have you been brought into this battle? Are you a Christian soldier, or are you still fighting against God? Have you, by God's grace, been brought in? Do you understand something of a new battle? And there's a longing to serve him and to fight against sin and Satan. You must be ready. Satan is a roaring lion. Now let's go back to those Roman soldiers. Julius Caesar's soldiers were known to be very valiant soldiers. Why? One thing was because the special footwear they had. Those Roman soldiers were given, the government, I would say, made them very special footwear. How did the Roman soldier stand firm in the battle? What type of protection did he have on his feet? What made him capable to stand firm in the battle? Well, he wore a certain type of sandal. To simply say, a sandal that had also spikes on it, so that he could stand on any type of ground, whether it was rocky or slippery or any type of ground. He could stand, he could run, he could pursue the enemy, he could be grabbed, he could be pulled, but he could stand firm. And he could enter into that battle with confidence, because he trusted in what he was given to be able to stand in that battle. And now, Christian soldier, the Almighty God speaks to you about armor. He provides armor. We heard about the truth. We heard about the breastplate. And now we hear about the sandals, the shoes that need to be shod, that need to be tied on, worn on your feet. And you can expect the enemy to attack you at any moment. And remember, what is a good soldier? That knows himself very well in the sight of God. That doesn't stand there and say, I'm a good soldier. I don't have to be alert. I don't have to worry. I can conquer. No, that's not a Christian soldier. A Christian soldier is completely dependent, needing, looking to the captain, to that precious Savior, Jesus Christ, and no trust in his flesh, knowing his weakness. Remember David? Who is he? He's a man after God's own heart. And what happened to him? Well, he didn't go to battle, a literal battle, and he was home. He was relaxing. Do you think David woke up that morning? He's a Christian soldier. And do you think he would fall, completely fall flat on his face by the evening time? That he would completely fall in that battle? He fell. He looked. He saw. And he followed his flesh. He fell horribly, King David. What's the lesson? 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You must be prepared. You must be alert every moment. No trust in yourself. No trust in your might. No trust in your flesh. But humble dependence upon the Almighty God. And remember, Paul is observing a Roman soldier. And he sees and he writes an illustration about a Christian soldier. The Christian soldier must be prepared as those Roman soldiers. And therefore he commands, as we read in Ephesians 6 verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So let's picture a Roman soldier. Maybe someone new. He's just going to enter the army. He receives instruction. All those pieces of armor, he was told, you need to put them all on. Also, those sandals to stand in the battle. They were all given to him. He didn't have to go and make his own armor. He didn't have to go and find his own sandals. He didn't have to go and find his own proper footwear that he thought was best. No, it was all given to him, and he had orders to put it on. Put on the helmet, put on the belt, hold the shield, hold the sword, and put those shoes on your feet. Tie them on. And he knew from maybe some older soldiers, young man, you're going to battle. You need to put it all on. You need to obey because the enemy, he will do everything to kill you. And if you miss one piece, you could die in the battle. So you can imagine that soldier listening, that new soldier, and he puts it all on because he listens to experience and he puts it all on. And he fastens the sandals securely to his feet. They are now his. And he knows by listening to others, disobedience could be his death, could be his end. And he went into the battle with confidence from knowing what he heard from others, but also trusting the one that gave it to him. Knowing and using all that properly in obedience, he could stand in the battle. And now let's go to a Christian soldier. Does he have to find his own armor? No. God provides all the armor. Are you called to look for your own armor? We're such fools. We try to find our own armor to protect ourselves. We trust our own might, our own power. But we're fools. We need to be made humble, weak, dependent, to listen, to obey, to trust that armor that God has given. And you need to stand in the battle. You need your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So we come to the end of her first thought, emphasizing the absolute necessity, the need to be prepared as a soldier in that little army to listen. The Christian soldier also needs to be prepared for the attacks of Satan from sin, the world, and his own flesh. But how? How? Is it just by putting some shoes on? Well, that's easy. Is that what it is? No, it's all figurative. All figurative. So we go to our second thought. The Christian soldier must be prepared with the gospel of peace. With the gospel of peace. So you must be prepared. Stand, therefore, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Maybe you're thinking, sandals with spikes? And the gospel of peace? How does this go together? What is the message? What is Paul speaking about? How do these go together? What does Paul mean? What's the message? Paul is saying to the Christian soldier that to be prepared in the battle, we must have a strong conviction. No, we need more. We need to absolutely convict in our heart about the truth of the gospel, of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe in the power of the gospel, to believe in the power of the gospel and the peace of the gospel that is in Jesus Christ. This is the only way to be prepared to be in the battle. And the battle is real. It's real. And there's only one way. That's by the gospel. It's by the gospel. No, not in your head. Not to be able to explain it with your mouth, but the gospel in your heart. Believing in it, trusting in it, surrendering to it, hoping in it. That's the only way to be prepared every day. David, that morning, I may say from the word of God, that he wasn't armed with the gospel of peace. He wasn't at all. He was thinking of his heart and of his flesh and of his desires, and he fell miserably. The Roman soldier could only stand firm in the battle with those shoes on his feet, trusting in them. And the Christian soldier, children of God, you can only stand firm in the battle against all the temptations, all the assaults of Satan, all the wickedness, and it's abounding more and more in the world that we live in. No, not with literal shoes, but with the peace of the gospel in your heart, the peace of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Martin Luther was armed with the gospel of peace in his heart and in his conscience. He went to the gate of Worms, and what did he say? Even if there are as many devils as there are tiles on the roofs of those houses, from here to the assembly, I will go in the strength of the Lord. Martin Luther was armed with the gospel of peace of Jesus Christ, and he could stand before any enemies. Children, think about Daniel. Remember, if you pray, you're going to be cast into the lion's den. Daniel lived. He was armed with the gospel of peace, and he wasn't going to end his prayers to the Almighty God. He couldn't. Because he needed to live depending upon that gospel of peace. And he knew if he didn't bow his knees and pray unto him, he would miss the gospel of peace in his soul. And so he bowed, not fearing lions. I think of Paul and Silas. They were beaten. They were lying in that cold prison, chained, possibly not able to move much. But he could lay there on their backs, filled with the gospel of peace, singing. I think of those three friends of Daniel told to bow before that great image or you'll be cast into the fiery furnace. Children, would you even want to put your finger in the fire? We wouldn't. That already is so fearful because it hurts so much. But those three friends were armed with the gospel of peace of the Almighty God, and they were not going to bow to any dead image because they loved the Prince of Peace. So the Christian soldier, he needs to be armed with the truth. He needs that righteousness, but he also needs to be armed with the gospel of peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, to stand in this battle, you need to be made a soldier. You need the truth. You need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But you also need to be armed with the gospel of peace of Jesus Christ. By God's grace, sinners are born again. And by their spirit, by his spirit and his work, they repent. And they flee in time unto that only Savior as lost, wretched sinners needing him and finding life and everything alone in him. And he promises to those, he will give them peace. He will. We read it in God's word. Psalm 29 verse 11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. You hear that, Christian soldier? So weak. You can depend upon him for strength for the battle. But also what else in the battle? And the Lord will bless his people with peace. Let's sing. Psalter 65. Stanzas 1, 3, and 4. 65, 1, 3, and 4. Grace and truth shall mark the way where the Lord his own will lead. If his word they still obey and his testimonies heed. 65, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Christian soldier must be armed with the gospel, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So did you hear it? You need to be made a Christian soldier or you will perish. And Christian soldier, you need to be armed. You must be prepared. You must stand firm in the battle. You must live daily by faith, looking, depending upon, totally upon him, upon his grace, upon his spirit. Living by faith in Jesus Christ is the only way every moment to stand firm in this battle. This is the only way to be prepared. We read in 1 Corinthians 16 verse 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Christian soldier, stand therefore. Stand therefore. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is saying there's only one way to stand firm in the world, in this hostile, anti-Christian world, this world that hates Christians, and this world that will come to an end, and there will be a great tribulation also for God's people. And the only way to stand is to be in Christ, in Him, and to have that peace of the gospel in the heart. To know the peace, to feel the peace, to believe in the peace, and to live according to the peace of the gospel of Jesus Christ. My friend, when this peace is in the heart, children of God, testify. When this peace, when it comes like a flood in your heart, then all kinds of temptations can come against you, but you can stand because your heart is constrained by the love of Christ. But when you miss that feeling of peace, when you miss that nearness of that precious Savior for your soul, and you miss that joy, oh, then those temptations can pull so hard on your flesh, and you say, Lord, help, I'll perish. And the war can be raging, fleshly lusts raging, assaults of Satan, temptations. But to have the peace, to have that peace of Jesus Christ, the gospel in your heart, by the application of the Holy Spirit. No, they cannot just take it, but they must pray for it. They must look for it. They must do everything. Remember, put on the armor of God. They're not called just to sit there. They're to strive. They're to beg. They're to look forward. They're to study, to read, to search, to be under the peace of the gospel. Completely dependent upon Him. Upon Him. Upon the captain. Upon the precious Savior. And remember, Paul didn't write. He doesn't say preparation of the law. No, he doesn't say preparation of the law. He says preparation of the gospel of peace. Paul is an ambassador. He's an ambassador of Jesus Christ. He's been called by Him. He's been sent by Him. And he has beautiful feet. Why? Because what does he do? What is an ambassador called to do? What do we read in Romans 10 verse 15? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. That preach the gospel of peace. And that bring glad tidings of good things. That bring good news. The peace that's good news for poor, wretched sinners that long for peace. And there is no peace for the wicked. And you can say peace, 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 because there's a false peace. But there is a real, true, deep, profound peace that can be experienced in the heart of an absolute wretched sinner in God by the application of the Holy Spirit. What is the gospel of peace? How is it experienced? How do they have that gospel peace in their hearts? Let's think of a sinner who's born again. Children of God, think of yourself. Born again, comes to life. Do they suddenly are just filled with peace? The Lord is my Savior? Is that how it goes? They become lost. Love is poured in their hearts, and there comes a desire for peace with God that they never ever thought of before. They want to be reconciled with that Almighty God. And so what do? They try to find a way to have peace with Him. And they're in the battle. They're in the battle with all the assaults of Satan, with everything that's roaring, with all the temptations, with all their flesh, and they try in a way this way or that way, a little more zeal, going to church more faithfully, read the Bible more, pray more, spend more time in the Word. They try it by the law. They try it in many different ways. But what happens? Is there peace that way? They don't find peace. What do they find? I'm just a greater sinner. It seems a greater distance. He just seems farther away, and he seems to even hide his face more. And they still long for peace. How can they have peace? Well, that precious Spirit, He who came into them, brought life and dwells in them, He teaches them. They're in the school of grace. And He leads them to death and everything Himself. They don't become better soldiers. They become weaker in themselves. And they need peace. How can they find peace? He reveals peace. In whom? How? Through that precious Savior. Through listening to the Word of God, reading the Word of God, or the preaching of the Word of God. They hear of another one. They hear of a way back to God for absolute guilty, lost, wretched sinners. And it becomes such an absolute wonder that there is even a way. Is there even a way? Yes, there's a way through him who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But is there a way for peace? Not only a way back, peace. Is there a way to have peace with God? Is there a way that he can look upon me in favor? Is there a way that he can smile? Is there a way that he could even embrace me as a child again? Because that's what they want. They want to be brought back to the very heart of God that they sinned against. And then to hear, there's a way of peace. There's a way of peace to God. To God, to God. Through whom? Through Jesus Christ. Through that Savior who came in the flesh. Who came to stand exactly in their spot. He came in their flesh. He came to fulfill the law. And to learn that he is the one who merited peace. How did he merit peace? What do we read in Colossians 1 verse 20? And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Oh, my friends, there is peace. There is such peace that I cannot even explain. You need to experience, and to experience just a little peace. Peace with God. Think of at the end of the Second World War. Think of being in a prison camp. Maybe soon you would be brought to that place where you will also be burnt. And all I am doing is facing death. And there's no peace. What a picture. What a picture in the heart of a sinner expecting under the just condemnation of God just to be brought to the fire of his wrath and to forever perish. But then to hear peace and then to be one of those Jews and to hear. It's over. We're delivered. They've been conquered. Our enemy has been conquered. Deliverance. What that must have been in those hearts for those people who believed. Soon it's going to be my turn, burnt alive. But those sinners that are perishing and who must say, I only deserve just condemnation. It's right. No, they don't just say it with their lips. They know it and they feel it in their heart. And they must say, amen, it's truth. Is that you? Is that you tonight looking for peace, longing for peace? But there's only wrath. You only deserve eternal wrath. Is there peace for such a one? Congregation, there was peace for Rahab the harlot. There was peace for Peter the denier. There was peace for Paul the persecutor. There was peace for a multitude of Corinthians who were so polluted with vile and wretched sins. There's peace for sinners through whom? Through the Prince of Peace who came to merit peace by giving his body, by giving his blood, by giving everything for a people who have nothing and long for peace. Peace in him. And oh, when the Spirit may reveal him unto them. And through the gospel by the application of the Holy Spirit. And when that gospel just flows into their heart, those floods that just come in. Oh, how peaceful that can be. And that could be for an hour. That could be for a day, a week. But God gives his people peace. Are you wretched and are you looking for peace? Is there peace for such a one? I need peace. Peace with God. No, I don't want just peace on this earth. I want peace with God. Are there such sinners here tonight? There's peace. But there's only one way to find that peace. We're so foolish. We're so proud. We're so rebellious. It's all our guilt. May you hear it. There's peace through the Prince of Peace. That you may just surrender. Become absolutely lost at his feet. Looking unto him, Son of David, have mercy upon him. And waiting upon him until he speaks peace through his word and through the Spirit testifies in the preaching. Because you can trust his voice. Remember? Peace, peace, and there is no peace. But when he comes and when he brings peace through the gospel, through the word or in the sacrament, and when peace comes in, then you can trust it because it's him. He's the faithful one. He's the almighty. It's a triune peace. What? It's a triune peace. Yes, it's a peace with a triune God. Because God the Father is the God of peace. Hebrews 13 verse 20. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9, verse 6. And God, the Holy Spirit, He is the Spirit of Peace, as we read in Ephesians 4, verse 3. And God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Peace, reveals peace with the Father, the God of Peace, through Jesus Christ, the Son of Peace. And then to experience peace, peace, to be armed with peace. That is what it is, to be able to stand in the battle. Not just to hear about it, that's a wonder already. Not just to know something about it, but to experience it in your heart. Have no rest, soldier, until you may know peace in your heart. And look for it, seek it. Seek it not in yourself, seek it in only one way. What did Job say? What did Job say? Job 22, verse 21. Acquaint now thyself with him. Acquaint. Come to know. Come to know him. Be acquainted with him. With him. With whom? With the Savior. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. There's only one way. It's only through Christ, through him, by the application of the Holy Spirit, that peace can be felt, real peace, felt in the heart of a sinner by Christ, the Prince of Peace. Are you a soldier, or are you still fighting against him? We may never pity soldiers. Sometimes we look at papers and we see pictures of soldiers. They're missing fingers, arms, wounded. We can pity them. But you don't need to pity Christian soldiers. They are so absolutely blessed. Who should we have pity on? You, who are still under the bondage of Satan and fighting against him. Oh, may you be convicted tonight, and that you may go home and say, I'm just an enemy. Lord, I heard about peace. I heard about such great blessings, but I miss it all, and it's all my own fault because I'm just an enemy. I'm in church. I confess the truth, but I'm just fighting against it. Lord, have mercy. Conquer this heart. Give me life. And Christian soldier, soldiers sometimes can be in a battle, and it can be roaring so greatly that those soldiers, I think also the Roman soldiers, could fear, even with all that they had, that they would perish. Will they? Will those Christian soldiers ever perish? Oh, David said one day, I will perish at the hand of Saul. He was told he would be king. He had the word of God. It's that you, the Lord spoke, but now you can't feel it. You can't see it anymore at all. It's just all darkness. But he is faithful. That's the hope. He who spoke, he who merited peace, it's in him. And what a lesson to just let go of everything and to look to him, depend upon him, the Prince of Peace. No matter what I feel in my heart, just looking, just waiting, just hoping, and continually fighting for his name's sake. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. They had to put those sandals on. And then you wonder, how? How can I obtain peace? I heard it's merited through that precious Savior. But how can I merit it? How? Do you need to pay? There's nothing you could pay, because all you can give is sin. Was it a cost for that peace? Absolutely. Jesus Christ had to pay everything. He had to give his life. He had to give his blood, that precious blood, so that there is peace. And now there's no cost. What good news. No cost. Because why? Because those who are taught by the Spirit, they don't have any money left. They don't have any money left. They become bankrupt. How can I receive it? Isaiah 55 verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye come by wine and milk without money and without price. Why? Because Jesus Christ paid for everything. The gospel of peace is free. and is to be received only by faith. And God is also the God of all grace, and he has the grace of faith to give it that it may be an exercise, so it's completely of him. What blessed soldiers! Is he not worthy to stand firm in the battle and to fight for him? For him, for his honor, for his glory, Christian soldier. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Romans 15, verse 13. And one more exhortation. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the future of those Christian soldiers. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, we beg and pray thee, work mightily, irresistibly in those who are yet enemies under the bondage of sin and Satan. Oh, may sinners have been arrested tonight, and that they become guilty, that they become lost, and they go home and cry unto thee, brought on their knees, begging thee, have mercy for this rebel, for this enemy. And oh, we pray and beg thee that thy word may also be richly blessed to thy dear people who need to be instructed, who need to be guided, who need to be led and helped every moment of the day on the journey that leadeth unto thee. O Lord, they have heard they must put on that preparation of the gospel of peace. Oh, may they go home. May they look, seek, beg for that peace, that they may be armed to live for thy honor, for thy glory. Lord, richly bless thy word with the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we're so foolish, also thy people. We so often become so self-dependent, looking within, and we so worldly, we lose that true peace. Have mercy, Lord. Bring straying ones back. Admonish those who also need admonishment, and give comfort to thy dear people through the Prince of Peace. We ask, keep us as we go home. Prepare us for thy day. May we come together again. Remember those parents who hope to have their children baptized. May they be given time also to reflect. And may we also, as a whole congregation, have some days to think and have time of preparation also for the sacrament of baptism, and that thou would richly bless it, Lord. Oh, we are completely dependent upon thy Spirit. May we thank thee for this time in thy house, for thy help. Blot out all our sins in listening and in preaching, and that all atoning blood, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing now in closing from Psalter 76, stanzas 1 and 4. Now unto Jehovah, ye sons of the mighty, all glory and strength and dominion accord. Ascribe to him glory and render him honor and beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord. 76, stanzas 1 and 4. dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.